things are kind of busy out here today on King's Highway. It's kind of fun standing here, watching cars whizzing by and wondering, where are they going? What are they doing? Have they ever stopped to wonder who might have traveled these roads before me? This is one of New Jersey's oldest roads. Just the name gives you some idea of how far back it goes, because it isn't a First President of the United States Highway or Democratically Elected Representatives Highway. It's called King's Highway. And since it's been a few hundred years since a king had any sway in these here parts, it pretty much gives away its age. Like most roads back then, King's Highway started out as a trail that was carved out by Native Americans who lived in these parts. But as settlers arrived and visitors expanded, those narrow dirt paths didn't quite cut it. After all, just like today, colonial businessmen had to travel to meet their clients, and families traveled to visit relatives, and farmers had to get their products to market. So with all that traffic, the colonists really needed a decent road, and by the 1680s, they got their wish.
Be it also further enacted by authority that there shall be a highway surveyed and set forth between Burlington and Salem.
Nice, that was my proclamation voice. Boy, did they get their wish, though. 60 miles that connected the towns that were sprouting up between Burlington and Salem. Yep, as far as the eye could see, a long stretch of smooth road where travelers didn't have to worry about highwaymen or robbers. But back then, this was a superhighway. It even had the colonial version of rest stops. All along King's Highway between Woodbury and Swedesboro, carriage stops like Wilkins Inn, the Rising Sun Inn, and the Swedes Inn offered two-legged and four-legged travelers a place to get food, water, and chill out. Yep, back in the day, these inns were town hotspots. Colonists would gather here for the latest gossip and goings-on. Businessmen would close deals across a rough-hewn table and a pint of ale. And you could always count on a local tavern to post the latest pamphlet or newspapers. Kind of like an 18th century version of the internet. Well, not exactly, but you get the idea. Oh, and about the tavern's odd names. To attract customers, innkeepers would hang large signs with painted symbols of the tavern name. So for the Rising Sun Tavern or the Bull's Head Tavern, you can pretty much get a good idea what the sign looked like. And then there was the Death of the Fox Tavern. I don't know about you, but I don't even want to think about what the marker looked like. Today, the former tavern is a private residence, so if you do pull over for a better look, please respect the owner's privacy. But back in its heyday, it was a happening and very prestigious place. It was home to the Gloucester Fox Hunting Club and its most famous guide, a certain Mr. Jonas Cattell, blacksmith, trail guide who knew every inch of path and backwoods Indian trail, runner extraordinaire, and outspoken critic of the king. Well, he must have spouted off about the king once too often because Colonel Van Donop, the Hessian officer who led the Battle of Red Bank, arrested Jonas. But Jonas put his time in the pokey to good use. While he was a prisoner, Jonas overheard the Hessians talking about their plans to attack Fort Mercer. So when the Hessians set their prisoners free, Jonas did what came naturally. He ran, and he ran, and ran, and ran. Until he got to Colonel Green at Fort Mercer and gave him the heads up.
I can't understand you. Get this man some water. They're planning what? Wilmer, reposition the troops. You've done a good thing, son.
Thank you.
Colonel Green repositioned his troops, and the Continental Army won the battle. Hooray! So Jonas Cattell, the hunting guide who spent much of his time here at Death of the Fox, was a revolutionary war hero. And he wasn't King's Highway's only revolutionary hero. Head down the road a piece towards Swedesboro, and you can still see the home of Dr. Botto Otto. Now, before we check it out, I want to point out that this house is also privately owned, so keep that same respecting the privacy thing in mind, okay? Who was Dr. Botto Otto? Well, back in 1777, the Redcoats were the least of the Continental Army's worries. For every American soldier killed by British bullets, 10 more died of smallpox and other diseases. If General Washington was going to have any army left, he had to do something. So what he did was recruit Dr. Botto Otto to set up the first army hospital. And he in turn recruited his son, Dr. Botto Otto Jr., to help out. While Otto Jr. was off with the army, the British torched his home during the Battle of Saunders Run, and his wife and children were inside. Thanks to his neighbors, the house and family survived. Dr. Otto Jr. was not so lucky. He came down with consumption and died soon after. After his funeral, Nicholas Collin, pastor of Old Swedes Church, wrote, "He was, in all respects, an honorable man, and had, so far as he was able, prevented much evil during the war." Otto Jr. really must have been a great man, because get this, he not only helped make sure the men who burned his home weren't hung, he helped them get released altogether. Now that's quite a memorable guy. Yep, Dr. Botto Otto and Jonas Cattell made history on King's Highway, but that's not the half of it. You see, all during the Revolution, the road was practically a parade ground for military troops. Who you would see tromping up and down the road depended on the day. Sometimes you'd see Washington's men slugging along, sometimes a local militia, sometimes the British. Every now and again, you'd even see Hessian troops. Skirmishes broke out, and nobody ever knew who was in power. One week, the Americans would control a town, but then the next week, the British might move in. King's Highway was a war zone, and it wreaked havoc with the daily life for the locals. Why, one day in 1777, Lord Cornwallis marched 8,000 redcoats right into Woodbury. Most locals had never seen so many people at one time in one place, let alone thousands of guys in a uniform. Can you imagine what they felt watching all those officers on horseback, foot soldiers, artillery wagons, baggage trains, and camp followers all marching by? Tiny towns were bursting at the seams with new people eating up all the food, taking up residence in private homes, using up hay and oats for the horses. Both armies were desperate for supplies, and more often than not, they just took what they needed. Took being the operative word here. Eventually, the fighting moved on. The armies moved out, and life in Gloucester County gradually got back to normal. Travelers trotted along its well-maintained surface during business, visiting their families, just living their lives. And King's Highway continued its role as one of the busiest, most important thoroughfares in southern New Jersey. Even though under-the-hood horsepower has replaced horse-drawn carriages, King's Highway still pulses with the rhythms of everyday life. So you can enjoy a scenic drive, pick up some locally grown produce from a roadside farm stand, savor a meal at one of the taverns that still, more than two centuries later, offer refreshment to weary travelers. But most of all, take a moment to think about the generations of people who've traveled before you on historic, modern, busy, quiet, new, old King's Highway. This project is made possible thanks to a grant from the Garden State Historic Preservation Trust Fund, administered by the New Jersey Historic Trust and the support of Gloucester County Department of Economic Development and the Gloucester County Board of Chosen Freeholders. Stay tuned for other podcasts that explore South Jersey's historic past.